the modern Mavericks.
At the end of it all, Luka is still in the top five of MVP voting. We have a chance to get our guy over the top with some wins, some victories, some standing out in this league. Currently in second place, sixth place in the Western Conference, and 24-18 in record. We could have that chance. The Dallas Mavericks could be that team, but what do we owe Luka? At the end of all of this, Kyrie is owed nothing, but there's a constant threat of him leaving. So back to my question, what do we owe our star? Is it really about the championship? Is it about the max contract? Is it about the record? Is it about the team that he plays with? Luka says he's happy. He says he's content. Kyrie says he's happy. He says he's content. But the rumor mill in the league, specifically with Luka's running mate, primary teammate, superstar, Kyrie Irving. I really don't feel like Kyrie wants to be in a chaotic or wild environment. I don't know this guy, but think about what he's gone through for the last few years with all the COVID stuff, all the LeBron stuff, all the trade stuff. And now he's in a situation being in Dallas where he's insulated. He's not dealing with the same drama. And I think the play on the court speaks for itself. We have to keep our core together. And I make this address because I know other people see it. It's really mad annoying to see Tim Hardaway Jr., Kyrie Irving constantly being thrown around like they're available. They're not. You guys, you should listen to my show. You should really keep up. I'll always get you with the right information. I put you on game with facts. They're not going anywhere. If Tim Hardaway Jr. is moved, we're getting a piece. He's aged enough to where maybe there's some flexibility. So I get it. People are getting excited. They want to talk about it more. But in reality, what are you going to get? And what are you going to give for that guy? We need to bring the best out of all of the players on our roster. This season and this record and our standings, I think, should build confidence. We're focused. We're locked in. And this is what it looks like. We are at that magical halfway point in the NBA season where we know what we have. A team that gets to 50 wins this season is a championship contender. A team that gets over 40 wins can compete in the playoffs. And that's really where we're at and what we're confronted with. Maybe who we're truly destined to be will only be revealed in time. And the uncertainty is what we have to prevent from allowing our confidence and our minds to unwind. As far as the MVP race, I'm really excited because Luka was number one for the longest time. And he recently took a fall back to Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid had that 40-point 10-assist game against Jokic, and that blew up the All-Star voting, sending him to the number one spot. Jokic in number two, and Luka has fallen all the way to the number five spot. He's only 24 years old. The kid was in the number one spot for a long time. So I definitely think that we've got all-star voting going on. Oh, pardon me. Maybe Ms. Hogan said that. He was number one in voting all-star. As far as MVP, he's tumbled to the number five spot. He's only 24 years old. And the fact that we're talking about all-star games, MVP, and all of these things is LeBron-esque. There isn't anyone in the league that has been this hot since Derrick Rose. But Derrick Rose's career, I think around this age is when things started to unfortunately deteriorate. So it's really exciting covering a young Maverick defining his space in the league. The fact that he's European probably makes it easy to receive these accolades, but he's white chocolate on the court. When I watch his game, it's so reminiscent of LeBron and the childlike wonder and fun that he consistently has flowing through him energetically. It really is motivational. I really want us to wrap our collective minds about what it is that our club is trying to do, because we're not taking on any small or simple task. We are the finest in all of the NBA. As far as ownership, facilities, and product that is out there on the court, this is A1. And if we can complement that with a championship to legitimize all the hard work, I'm here for it. We're playing the Boston Celtics tomorrow, and I'm excited for the game. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little worried about it because I think Boston is gonna do one of two things. They're gonna do what Boston does. They're gonna start their starters and dominate, or they're gonna do something that might affect us throughout the whole season. They could play bench guys. They could not have their starters out there. Derek White could sit. Tatum could possibly sit. These little wrinkles, these little ripples in the game are what I really feel redefine the season. I think these are the doors that allow people to minimize and dismiss the accomplishments that this team makes. So in this next outing, look for as many healthy Mavs as possible and really watch what they do in that backcourt. Really watch how many threes they put up, because that may be the key to the sauce. Either way, team is healing. We're at the All-Star break, and our guy is in the top five. Our superstar from the hometown is in the top five MVP voting. This is a great report at the half of the season, and I don't discount things getting better. This team locking in, increasing their intensity, aggressiveness, focusing. I don't discount it. There are new threats in the West, and there's new threats in our division. But if we stick to our pedigree and hold true to form, we can dominate. And I'm going to confidently say that it's January 21st. Halfway through it, 24-18. We're going to win 40 games this season. I think 50 is likely. Once we cross that 50 mark, I am locked in on a Western Conference final. So we'll wait till March to really get into the prediction game. But I couldn't be more excited. Follow Modern Mavericks on YouTube. Follow our Facebook page. But keep listening to the podcast. Peace.